if you will, to Ezekiel. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel. I like Ezekiel. He's always seeing something in the middle of something, sparks flying, wheels turning. I like that. Praise God, I like to see something going on around when I'm in church. Amen. I like for people to get in, and old Ezekiel's always the in fella. I mean, he was seeing all these things the Lord showed him. But in Ezekiel chapter 16, there's a type of a Jerusalem. Now, let me say this. The Lord loves Jerusalem. You say, you don't know that the Lord loves Jerusalem. Yes, I do know the Lord loves Jerusalem. The last time he went home, listen to me. You know where he went? He went and stood over his beloved city and wept over it. He loves Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But Ezekiel said a mother gave birth to a little girl. She didn't want that girl. That little girl was typified as Jerusalem. And I don't have time to get into the latter part of this tonight. But the Lord brought her up. And the Lord blessed her. And the Lord loved her. And she was his. He bought her. If you read the latter part of this chapter, she played the harlot. She broke the heart of the one that loved her. Folks, let me say this. When you love the world, you break the heart of the one that loves you. That's what we call spiritual adultery, brother. You're to serve God and him only. You're to love the Lord thy God. But here's a picture of a little girl. And nobody loved her. She was cast out the other day. Listen to me. I got up and I was listening to the news going downtown on the radio. And they said in the dumpster they found a little baby girl. And the little baby girl was cast there after she was born just a few hours before. I don't know if her mother thought she was dead, but she threw in a dumpster. And when they came to empty the dumpster, they heard the cry of an infant little girl. And they took that little girl up to the Cab General Hospital. And they put a little band on her, no-name girl. She didn't have a name. Nobody knew who her mother was. And they put a little band, no-name girl. And the announcer said, she's doing fine. She don't have a name. She don't have anybody to come and take her out of the hospital. She's been forsaken and abandoned, and she's a castaway. And said, if you know who the mother is, tell her to come by and claim that. Nobody never did claim. The mother never did claim that little girl. But I know one here in the Bible that no one ever claimed except the Lord came by. Amen? I want you to stand with me, please, if you will, out of the house. I'm going to read tonight in the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. If you'll take your Bible and look with me, I believe it'll be a real blessing. I want you to see something tonight. The Lord passed by. Now, brother, if God doesn't pass by where you are in this camp meeting, and if you don't reach out and touch God, I mean, you won't get what God wants you to get out of this camp meeting. Boy, I'm glad he's passed my way this week. Now, I feel like I've reached up and touched him afresh. Now, I feel like he's blessed me anew in this meeting. And he's passing by. I want you to look with me as I read the scripture in Ezekiel chapter 16. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day when thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in the water to supple thee. For thou wast for not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out of the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, and when thou wast in thy blood, live. I noticed. And I will cause thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased as a waxen grape. Thou art come to the excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown. Whereas thou wast naked and bare. Notice verse 8 says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee, covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, thirdly, I washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered work, and shod thee with the badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ointments. I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain upon thy neck. Now, if you look this way for just a moment, I want to give you a couple of thoughts here, and then I want you to be seated. I'm going to speak to you tonight from verse 6. And he said, I passed by thee. Notice it says there. I want you to underscore that. I passed by thee. Verse 8 says, in the beginning, and when I passed by thee. Notice the Lord passed by that little girl. But he did something for her. And when God passes through this camp meeting, beloved, he'll do something for us. I'm glad he passed by. I want you to be seated all over the house now, if you will. I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer, and in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message, and I trust it'll be a blessing to your heart. Father, I thank thee for every blessing that we've enjoyed in the camp meeting. Lord, this seems to be one of the highlight services. I'm glad for the mighty Spirit of God. I thank you for the jubilancy. I thank you for the joy. Lord, we've had a drink from the well. Oh, we've been feasting at a table of a bountiful supply. I'm glad, our Father, that we've been enjoying the great blessings of heaven in this camp meeting. I believe our Father, that tonight that you speak through the preaching of the Word of God. I thank you for speaking through the singing. Oh God, how it's blessed us tonight. I thank you for songs that exalt and magnify and lift up the Savior. So I pray now that you bless in the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, may this be an unusual service. Thank you if it's already been unusual. And we'll praise you now for what you do because we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on the subject being he passed by. I want you to know tonight the greatest day of your life was that time when the Lord passed by. Do you remember how lonely and sad the Lord passed by? And you looked up and you were in despair. But thank God he didn't leave you there. And when he passed by, if you touched him, I'm glad I've touched him this week. I believe before this service is out tonight, I'll be able to reach up and touch him. But here's a sad story. One of the saddest stories in the Bible. I think of all the stories. This is one of the saddest. Here's a little girl, just a little baby girl, just born, still in the aftermath of her birth. A little girl that was helpless, cast into an open field. If you'll see the picture tonight, there was no mother there to give her protection. There was no dad standing nearby. But she's left out in that open field, wallowing in the blood of the aftermath. And the Bible said, none I pitied her. Did you know that religion and the world did not pity this little girl? Here's two Jerusalem a type. No one pitied her. But the Bible doesn't stop there. Thank God it says, but the Lord passed by. Woo! And praise God when he came by. I'm glad he did something about it. He always does something about it when he passes by. When God comes to your house. When God passes your home. When God passes your church. I want to tell you he does something. And I want to reach out and touch him. But I want to show you by way of introduction tonight. Four things the Lord did for that little girl. The first thing, he washed her. I'm glad I've had a blood bath. And praise God, I can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God, listen, I've been cleansed in Calvary's blood. I'm glad tonight that I can sing, oh, the precious blood of Jesus. Old Dr. Horn, the last member of the Billy Sunday a party, died a few years ago, about four. I never will forget old Dr. Horn the last time I talked to him. He said, Brother Mays, at my funeral, I want them to stand, and when they take my body from the church, I want them to sing, the blood has never lost its power. And brother, when they carried him out, everybody was standing and singing, the blood has never lost its power. I want you to know tonight, the Lord washed her. The second thing he did, he clothed her. When she was naked and shameful, he clothed her. I'm glad tonight he put a robe of righteousness on me. Thank God he clothed me. And what a blessing to be dressed up in Jesus. Brother, the Bible said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good to put on him, to be clothed in the garments of Calvary. Years ago, I was preaching in Rock Hill, South Carolina. A little Jew came down
I used to call them converted, but I call them completed now. And she was a completed Jew. And she walked up to me and said, Brother Mace, when I got saved, my family kicked me out. And she said, they had a funeral for me. And she said, I've had to go down, preacher, and get my dresses from down here, the welfare. And my clothes, she said, I picked up rags. And she stood there that night in that little dignified church. And she said, my shoes, I got them at the Salvation Army. But she said, you know, Brother Mace, I want you to know I got on something that besides the clothes that you see. She said, he put the Calvary robe on me. And praise God, bless me up in Jesus. And I said, well, you just wait a minute, sister. I've never sung in my life, but we're going to sing. And Hemp, me and that little Jewish lady got to singing. I got shoes. You got shoes. All of God's children, God's children. I got to sing you with I've got a robe. You got a robe. All of God's children got robes. Praise God. I want to tell you, God brought me in that church that night, and somebody said, what did the Lord do for that girl? He first washed her. He secondly, he clothed her. The third thing, you'll scare some of you Baptists to death, but he anointed her with holy oil. Praise God, the type of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I've been anointed. Woo! I tell you, brother, it's good to feel the anointing of the Spirit of the living God tonight. It's good that you can be anointed by his Spirit. Hallelujah. And singing's dead till the Holy Spirit comes. Preaching is dead. But when the oil of heaven fresh comes on your soul, I want to tell you, bless God, it makes all everything fall in place. Heaven gets right and heaven comes down. Listen, it's different when you have the holy oil. And the scripture said, you know, the fourth thing he said, he decked her with jewels. Bless God, you don't know it tonight, but you got jewels the devil's crowd's never seen before. I'm glad, praise God, we got jewels. He decked her with jewels. I was in Jerusalem 2 or 3 years ago. I was down, I think Roy was with us. We had a lady there. Had taken a hospital in Bethlehem. But I was over that little Arab down at the Bethlehem gift shop. Said, Brother Mace, you come here, Brother Mace, you come here. I said, yes, sir, and I know him. And he said, well, Brother Mace, you're my friend. I said, I'm your friend. He said, I could feel the knife going in. And he said, you really my friend? I said, yes, I'm your friend. And he said, I want you to see. He said, you got a pretty wife? I said, the prettiest wife you've ever. Oh, he said, pretty? I said, pretty? I mean, pretty. And you know what he said? He said, I've got some over here in the stage. You need to take your wife. And he went over. Now, I want you to listen to this. You go around, I want you to buy your wife one of these. And he brought a beautiful, beautiful bracelet out. And he said, Brother Mace, your wife would be pretty in this. And I said, oh, she would. And boy, I said, that's nice. How much? He said, $10,000. I said, wait a minute here. What are you talking about? He said, Brother Mace, it's got so many carrots. I said, I eat carrots. I don't carry them around. I eat them. And he told me about all the sapphire and the rubies. Now, he said, Brother Mace, he said, your wife are pretty. She'll be prettier if you buy her this bracelet. I said, mister, if you brought, he said, it's $6,000. Oh, he said, it's a steal. And your wife, she'd be so pretty. I said, she'll have to be pretty without that. I said, but mister, I want to tell you something. I'm glad that the Bible said he had decked us with jewels that the world has never witnessed. And by them, brother, this world's never seen. I'm glad for the sparkle of the jewels of God for his children. And the Bible says, listen to me, he decked her with jewels. I came home and I said, Dot. She said, yes. I said, I started to get you a bracelet. She said, you did? Why didn't you buy it? I said, $6,000, Serena. She said, well, what would I do with it? I said, that's Serena didn't buy it. I know you wouldn't have wanted it. And she said, amazed, I didn't say that. Oh, I said, but honey, wait a minute. I said, when we get to heaven, I said, praise God, we'll have jewels. I said, we'll be so rich that our front street out there will be pure gold. You can't be kept. Thank God the Bible said he decked her with jewels. But if you notice, he said, but when he passed by, I want to take that expression, when he passes by, bring your message tonight. Let me say, I was not in an open field, and I was not loafing in the afterbirth, but there's 6 or 7 things that start with S tonight, that I was when he passed by. First of all, when I was sinking in a miry pit, thank God he passed by. I'm glad the scripture said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. In kind, I heard my cry. Brought me a pulse out of a horrible pit. Set my feet on that rock that Susan was singing. I'm standing on the solid rock. And praise God, he established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth. But you know what he did? He came by that horrible pit, that miry clay. I want to show you three fellows that came by while I was in that hole. I was down there in that horrible pit, and old Dr. Dewbetter came by and said, "Hey, Mace, what you need?" I said, "I need to get out of this pit, this horrible pit." He said, "Just all you got to do is Dewbetter. You'll be all." I said, "Dewbetter nothing. I want to get out of this horrible pit." And then Dr. Turn over a new leaf came by, and he said, "What's the matter down there in that hole?" I said, "I want to get out." He said, "Just turn over a new leaf." I said, "I can turn over every leaf in the book, but that won't get me out of this pit." And then Dr. Baptism came. He's a Church of Christ, and he said, "Be baptized, baptized." I don't care. I don't know how they say that, but he said, "If you'll get baptized, I said, "I don't need to get baptized. I need to get out of this pit." And I cried, "Lord!" And did you know somebody else passed by? Woo! Thank God. And he reached down his hand for me. And I was lost and near despair. He reached away down his hand for me and picked me up. He didn't leave me in that pit. He picked me up out of the miry pit. And thank God, when I was sinking in despair, he came there and picked me up out of the horrible pit. What a blessing it is to know that when a man is sinking and a man is going down, nothing else can help him. But there's a big arm of the Savior. I've heard a lot of people sing, "When he reached down his hand for me." I was in Kent, North Carolina, several years ago, a little mountain town. Little old boy got up with old hauls on, never been out of that county. Said, "I want to sing Brother Mace's song." I never will forget that little old boy. He started crying, and he started singing, "When he reached away down for me. I was lost and undone without God or something." And he reached down for me. And that little old boy, Brother Mac, reached over that rostrum with that hand and said, "I reached away down." And when he did, a chunk of glory hit me. And I came up from there saying, "Glory to God. I'm glad he came by that miry clay, that horrible pit, and reached away down for me." Isn't that wonderful tonight? When I was in that miry clay, he came by. I was seeking low. Secondly, when I was in a solitary place, Bible said in Isaiah 35 that the desert's a solitary place. There's no birds singing out there. And I want to give you some notice tonight. Ever since I've been saved, I've been hearing birds singing. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. I'm one of them ridge runners. Glory to God. I like him. I'm part. I despise that bag. Boy, my son and his wife, they sing a song. Maybe they'll sing tomorrow night. Entitled, "It Was Dark as a Dungeon, but in the valley he restored my soul." I want to tell you something, children. There was a time when I was in a solitary place. You know where it talks about a place like that in the Bible? In 2 Samuel chapter 9, when you get home, it said when David came to the throne, he said, "Is there any yet in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Do you know the reason that I had kindness and grace bestowed on me? It wasn't because I was a Jackson. Bless God, it was for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. And what I am for Jesus' sake. Praise the Lord. But you know what the Bible says? Man in the back named Ziba. Ziba's the type of the Holy Ghost. Stood up and said, "King David, I know a little boy. And when he was 5 years old, it dropped him, and he's crippled. And I know this little boy. And his hands are twisted. And his feet are twisted. And his name is Mephibosheth. And sir, he's the son of Jonathan." Boy, old David said, "Glory to God. I made a covenant with old Jonathan one time." Said, "Ziba, you go out." "Where does he live, by the way?" And Ziba said, "He lives in a solitary place. He lives in the land of Lodibar." You know what Lodibar means? It means the land of no bread. It means where the sun never shines. And I want to tell you, ever since I got saved, I've been living in the sunshine. I've been camping, bless God, under the trees of God's beauty, and the pastures that are green all year round, and the birds have been singing. And old David said to Sheba, said, you go out, son, and fetch him and bring him back, that I may show kindness, that I may bestow grace upon him. And brother, I see the picture. Old Sheba starts on a long journey. The Holy Ghost came a long way. Boy, he came to my Lodibar. And I see Sheba when he comes to the little place called Lodibar. It says Lodibar, a place of no bread. Welcome, but the sun never shines here. The birds never sing. There's no happiness in Lodibar. It's a solitary place. And boy, Sheba starts walking down the boulevards of Lodibar. He knew exactly where to come, because in a little house with the roof falling in and the windows falling out, there was a little boy lying back in the corner, in the dark corner of that room. He was there waiting to die, and he heard the door open, and Sheba said, Mephibosheth said, I know it's according to the rule of the monarchy that I should die. But that great servant called Sheba reached over, and Sheba said, but Mephibosheth, I got good news to bring. We got a table spread over yonder at the king's palace, praise God. And did you know something? We're going to take you and put you in the king's palace. And that little boy with those little crippled hands, bring me my coat, brother Roy, just a minute. That little boy with those little crippled hands reached up, and that boy, you know what he did? Boy, Sheba reached down tenderly, picked up that little crippled boy, and said, I'm Grace, and I want to take you all the way. Praise God, I want to tell you something. And along the way, you know, Sheba, the Holy Ghost, what he'd do? The little boy would get sore, and he's the fresh oil. And he'd say, wait a minute, now rub me where you're sore. And praise the Lord, I'm glad. He'd say, how much fun is it? Tell me about the table. Tell me about my house I'm going through. And the Holy Ghost would whisper in his ear and say, look, Mephibosheth, the towers you've never seen the like. The table's not about it. It's a horn of plenty. Said, bless God, they'll put a robe on you. And said, bless God, they'll put a heaven and put a crown on you. And said, I want to tell you something, son. You're going to see something you've never seen. And he said, all I know is a solitary place. And he said, I'm beginning to see roses blooming. I can hear the birds singing. And he tell you something, children. The nearer I get to the city of God, I can smell roses that never fade. And thank God, birds are still singing. And old Sheba walks in, and David said, what you got there? That little crippled boy looks up with those crippled hands hanging down, those little limber legs. And he looks over there, and David said, you know why? You found kindness in this house. That little boy said, why? He said, for Jonathan's sake, one day when the Holy Ghost takes me the last mile in. Praise God. I want to tell you, I'm going to take you over there. And the Father says, you know why you got here, Mace? And I'm going to say, tell me again. And he'll say, for Jesus' sake. Thank God he brought you for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. And then he passed by. Isn't that a blessing? I feel like the little boy that the king came down one day, found a little boy and took him home and said, take those rags off. And he put a robe on him and put a scepter in his hand and a crown on his head. He said, you don't wear any rags around this. You're the king's son. But every morning for many months, they'd watch that little boy go into the room. And the servants would stand out in the hall and chatter and say, wonder what he's doing in there. He'd always come out with red eyes. And one day one of the servants said, Master, you're a young boy. Why do you go in every morning and come out crying? He said, in the morning I'll leave the door cracked and you can see. And those servants gathered to find out the mystery of what happened to that little king's son, adopted son. You know what they saw? They saw him go with an old box. And he'd open that box and he'd pull out those rags that he used to wear. And he walked over to the mirror and he stood in front of that mirror. And he said, this is what I used to wear. And then he laid those rags down, put the robe back on and the crown on. And he said, I want to remember where he found me, how far he brought me. Let me say to you, I'm glad when I was in a solitary place, he found me, and the Holy Ghost brought me, and because of grace and for Jesus' sake, praise God in the Lamb's Aren't you glad? In the third place, not only when I was sinking deep in sin, when I was in a solitary place, he passed by, but when Satan had me bound. But I want you to know, children, I'm free tonight. Glory tonight. Woo! Praise God. The Bible said, John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 11, it said Jesus is in a synagogue, and a woman that was bent devil came in. The Bible said for 18 years she'd been bound by the devil. 18 years she couldn't look up. Did you know, bless God, I'm so glad I'm not looking down anymore. Praise God, I'm looking up. Oh, thank God, Jesus came over and passed by that woman. The Bible said he laid his hands on her and said, straighten up. And that woman that was bound, thank God, was set free. And brother, she started looking up, and Jesus straightened the crooked woman out. Let me tell you, he can straighten a crooked man out. He can straighten a crooked boy out. Oh, when Jesus passes by, he can straighten you out. Years ago, listen to me, a man knocked on the sheriff's door in Regional, North Carolina, and said, I got handcuffs on me. And the sheriff said, now, wait a minute. What have you done? He said, I haven't done anything yet. But said, I'm bound by the devil. He said, I just got out of prison and hit Raleigh. And said, I'm afraid I'm going to kill somebody. He said, I want you to put some handcuffs on me. And the sheriff said, I want to tell you something. That's not what you need. Said, there's a fellow over here, New Heights Baptist Church with Jim Quinch. His name's Mace Jackson. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. And said, he can tell you about a Savior that can set you free. And a Savior that can loose the bonds and the chains and the shackles of sin. That man came over there that night trembling, came down the altar, and he set him down. But brother, when he knelt down at that altar and cried out, oh God, for Jesus' sake, save me. And I want to tell you something, the chains fell off, and that fellow jumped up and said, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. For the first time, he said, I'm free. When the Lord passes by, listen, when Satan had you bound, Jesus passed by. When sin had stripped you, Jesus passed by. Bible said a man started down from Jerusalem to Jericho, down, fell among thieves. Sin stripped him. Let me tell you something, sin will strip you of your home. Sin will strip you of your name. Sin will strip you of everything you have. Bible said an old religious guy passed by. That fellow that sin stripped looked over there and said, sorry, bud, you can't give much money as I leave. That priest passed him on by. A Levite came by and said, I'm sorry, you can't keep the law, and I can't do nothing for you. But listen, who came by? A good Samaritan passed by. And he didn't look at the rags, and he didn't look at the man's wounds. He saw something in that man. He reached down with compassion. Thank God, poured oil. That means joy. Bound him up, listen to me, and put him on his beast. Isn't that just like Jesus? He lets you ride, and he does the walking. Praise God. He took him to the inn and said, here's 2 pence. If I owe you anything, when I come, I'll pay you, but here's the money. This man was stripped by sin. I've heard people get up and say, you know, I had so much before God saved me. Let me tell you something. I had nothing. But oh, I was a beggar on the side of the road. Woo! But I'm a millionaire in Jesus tonight. I'm an heir with God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Sin had robbed me of everything, Bill. And sin had stripped me. But praise God, he came by. And oh, he put a robe on me. Number 5, when surrounded by the enemies of my soul, he came by. Boy, ain't that good? Listen to me. You know what the psalmist said? They gapped after him. They stuck out their tongues. And the enemy came and surrounded my soul. But I'm glad, praise God, then he came by. I want to tell you, he can lick every one of them, bless God, with his little finger. He's never lost a battle. And praise God, he can take care of the enemies that surround your soul. You say, preacher, what am I going to do? Ask the Lord to pass by and touch him. And if you're surrounded by the enemy, he can take care of your enemy. Somebody want me to tell this. Now, I'll do it real quickly. My grandson likes me to tell it, but I don't like to tell it in front of him. He listens. See, when I was 6 years old, I was in the first grade down Pluto, North Carolina. That's a mean town. It's a mountain town. And if they're fur you, as the old fella said, they're fur you. And if they're gin you, they're gin you. But I was walking down the hall, and it had an intersection. And a little old boy spit on me. And I said, "Don't you spit on me, buddy." I said, "If you do that again, you'll have teeth for dinner. Sure as your name's what it is." And I wasn't but 6 years old. And he cleared his throat and spit on me again. And me and him had the awfulest fight you ever saw in your life. And blood is a frying. And I got him down in the corner. I never will forget in that intersection, that hall. And I said, "You holler Cathrope right now." And when I said, "You holler Cathrope," you know what he hollered? He said, "Brother!" And the biggest old double-jointed mountain guy came down that hall. You know why I'm bald-headed? He hit me and I heard, listen, I can still hear those stars singing around my head. "Oh!" He said, "Who's hurt my brother?" And boy, he gave me a pound and I'll never forget. You say, "Well, what's that got to do with this sermon?" One of these days, the enemy of your soul may get you down over there in the corner, bloody your eyes and bloody your nose. All you got to do is holler, "Of your son." And brother, he took that jug of oil and poured it around that old thorn, and Paul looked up and said, "Most gladly will I rejoice in my infirmities." "Oh," he said, "you made a way." Said, "Your grace was sufficient in my suffering." Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you knew her like I knew her, you'd think I was a bad fella. I had the sweetest mother. I took Roy to my mother's grave. I don't go to graves. I took Roy out there. It's a beautiful place for cemetery. Listen to me. Sweetest little mother that ever lived. Oh, yeah. You know what my mother do? Listen, Mac, I want to tell you something. My son will tell you tomorrow night, and we got a big kick out of it. If I had some records back there tonight, some records that I've made, say the King is coming, Abomination Fundamental Churches and all that, if I had a record back there, you know what my mother do right now? I'm telling you. She'd stand back there in front of that door, have some records in her hand, say, "I wouldn't leave till I bought one of my son's records if I was a good." I mean, she'd stand back there, brother, and she'd say, "I mean, you're going to get one of my son's records. You need that kind of preaching in your house." And boy, I'm telling you, she was the finest little mother you ever saw. And I saw her at Asheville, and I was preaching in a cold church. Listen, you can't imagine. I had Ralph Sexton there to hear me preach, Bobby Buchanan, they couldn't grunt. Now, you know it's cold, bless God, when them fetters couldn't grunt. And they walked out there in that highfalutin' church, and I'm telling you, I got up there and preached, and I grunted and cried and squalled and did everything and couldn't get a grunt. Mother's, I stopped myself. "I want my mother to testify. Bless God, we'll get something stirred up around here." The mother's been sick all that week. I said, "Folks, she can't hardly stand it. Would you pray for her?" She got up and she said, "Oh, Mace, I don't need those prayers for that now." She said, "You're my boy. You're my preacher." And she said, "Folks, don't waste your prayers on me." But she said, "Ever since God called my boy to preach, every night at 7:30, I bow my head and say, 'God, my boy's going to take that pulpit in a few minutes, and he'll stand where angels fear to trod.'" And she said, "Don't pray for me, folks, but pray for Mace. I love Mace. He's my preacher." And she fell back. And I didn't know what was wrong with her. I went back and I said to the lady that drove a car, I said, "You take my mother to the doctor in the morning." She said, "I will, Mace." I took her to the doctor. Wednesday operated. Found out she's too far gone. Knew anything about cancer. She's eaten up. And they called me and said, Wednesday night, I was in Danville, Virginia, at Holland Road Baptist Church. And they said, "Mace, Mama, your mother's operated on today. It's already gone all over her body. And we sewed her back up. And she said she didn't want you to come back to the rally service Sunday." I said, "You tell her I'll be there after the rally service." So I preached Sunday afternoon. Boy, I got my car. I rode to Hendersonville, North Carolina. I went in that hospital room and I said, "Mama," she said, "it's hurting pretty bad, preacher." But she said, "You know, I ain't prayed for myself. I've been praying for that meeting. How was it?" And I said, "Great." "Oh," she said, "I know the Lord is going to touch you." That little old mountain mama died 2 weeks after that. Had cancer, took her out into eternity. The last time I walked in her room, I said, "Mom." She looked up and said, "Hi, preacher. Should have been praying for you." I said, "Mama, are you hurting?" She said, "No. He's so wonderful, Mace." And I said, "Mama, do you want me to stay with you?" She said, "No." She said, "All the far you could go with me to that door." But she said, "I got someone, Mace, when I was a little girl. And he never left me, and he'll be here with me to the end." And I never saw long anymore. But that nurse came to the funeral. That nurse said to me at the funeral, "Boy,
She never grumbled. She said the grace of the Lord pass by.
The grace, all was sufficient. Oh, the Lord passes by in your sorrow.
Now, number seven, quickly. The Lord passes by in your sorrow. Oh, I mean when your heart's broken in a million pieces. Nobody else can help you. I mean the preacher that you love. I mean that old deacon that stood by your side. Listen, let me tell you, it's something wonderful. And when you're sorrowful, your heart's broken, and a knock comes to the door. And you go to the door and say, come in. He said, my name's Jesus. I came to comfort you in your sorrow. I was passing by out here on the road. I thought I'd come and comfort your heart. Oh, you say, preacher, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Be also in me. As the Lord passed by that little girl that nobody loved and took her up and raised her. Oh, listen, the Lord passed me by and came where I was. Boy, when I've been in sorrow, he comforted me. Let me give you two great preachers. I heard this at Bristol one time. Lee Robinson was preaching many, many years ago. He said these words. He said, when God took joy to heaven, he said, I had 57 deacons, I believe he said at that time. I don't have any he's got now. And he said, I appreciate every deacon. He said, I think 53 of them made it there sometime. Put your hand in mine and say, Lee, boy, you can lean on us. And he said, I really needed somebody to lean on. And I appreciated all the 53 deacons, I think, that came by out of the 57 I had. Said three were off on the West Coast somewhere and couldn't make it. But he says, folks, he said, in my lonely hours of that sorrow, he said, I went alone up on top of that mountain where my house was. And I stopped my car. And he said, the Lord comforted me. He passed by. And in my sorrow, he came where I was, and he comforted me. He comforted me. Tom Malone said, when his baby was lying corpse, it was on Sunday. And he said, my wife always sings, and I always preach. And said, the devil came and said, Tom, you're not going to preach and your wife sing with your little baby down to funeral home lying corpse, are you? He said, my wife has never sung that beautiful before. Oh, she exalted the Savior with her little baby lying down there in a funeral home. And he said, when I got up to preach, honestly, it felt like God sent reinforcements of comfort. And the Lord passed by in the time of my sorrow. And he said, he comforted me. I want you to know, my friend, what a blessing it is when you're in sorrow that the Lord passes by. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord always comes at the time? Reach out and touch him. Now, some of you said, preacher, I want you to tell about when the Lord's coming back. I'd been down to a place called Porterdale, Georgia. Brother Mac knows where it is. It's 38 miles below where I live, down toward Augusta, Georgia. I was in a church down there, the Baptist Church in Porterdale. Don't blame them. I was the one out of place. I preached all week and wept and cried. Nobody seemed to appreciate it. And I preached, and oh, I cried. And I was so exhausted on Sunday night when I got through preaching. Well, I couldn't hardly make it to my car. I had 38 miles to go. And I walked out in that car, bowed my head upon that steering wheel. I said, God, I got to have something. Those folks have sat me. They didn't help me. They didn't holler amen. They didn't go along with my preaching. Lord, I got to have something. And I was still cut the radio on. And I cut on WSB, the big station in Atlanta. Always nothing there. I cut off one of those rock roads. Boom, boom. I said, Lord God, I can't stand that. And I cut off that heathen music. Then I said, I know what I'll do. I cut on XCRF and sit down to Cooler Coahuila, Mexico. And I turned over there and couldn't get it. I said, I can do it there. And I turned over to another station. I was going up 20 toward Conyers, Georgia. And boy, I said, I know what I'll do. I'll turn over to WOAK. WOAK is a colored station in Atlanta. I was riding along there, and I flipped over to 1380 on the dial, and the man said, 10 o'clock? Said, you listen to WOAK in Atlanta, Georgia, the most colorful station in town. And I said, amen! And that old color announcer said, ladies and gentlemen, we take you down to Mount Zion Baptist Church here in the city of Atlanta, where the Right Reverend Dr. So-and-so is now giving his discourse. And said, we're just going to flip a switch and you'll be... And I didn't know what the reverend right doctor was. I didn't know what the discourse was. But I said, Lord, I sure am hungry to get something. I'm sad to death. And boy, when he pushed that switch, a faint old Negro preacher said, Children! Said he went away, but he's coming back again. Boy, when he said that, I said, yeah. And did you know that old preacher? Listen, did you know colored preachers can't preach till they get in gear? And he got in gear, and he started saying, and he walked on the water, and he raised the dead. And boy, I want to tell you something, he's getting right. And he'd say, he's coming! And all them folks would say, And you know what I said? I mean, it's the best I ever ate. I was eating my chunks. Did you know that? I mean, he was preaching. You never heard it. And he said, I want to tell you, he ain't sending Moses back, children. Said he. Said that same one that was born in Bethlehem. That's the one. He said, I said, that's right. Boy, it was getting good, and we was getting closer to Congress. And he said the other day, he said, I had to go down to Five Points in Atlanta, Georgia. And said, I took my little boy, little four-year-old boy. And said, he likes him nice big buildings. Why, even a lady here in the church told me, said, when I go to Atlanta, Georgia, they can tell I'm from the country. She said, I stand and look at them big tall buildings. But he said, I got down to Five Points, and I had to go sign some insurance papers. And he said, I took my little boy out of the car. We had to park three blocks away. And I got down at that big old building, and said, my little boy got scared in his heart. He was having some heart murmur. And he said, Daddy, I was scared to go in that building. He said, we're going to elevator? No, I was scared, Daddy. He said, Daddy, let me just stand out here and you get back. And he said, you know what I did? Said, I took that old boy and pulled him up to my bosom. And I said, son, you stand right here where I put you. And I promise you one thing. When I get them insurance papers signed, I'll be right back down here. And he said, I went over the side and I put him up against that big old building. Said he didn't want to go in the lobby. He didn't want to go over near the elevator. He won't stand up next to the building outside. And I put him there and I ran in, pushed the button. And went up 18 stories, jumped out and ran down. And a little secretary said, I'm sorry, Reverend, I lost those insurance papers. Now, if you'll sit down. And he said, I sat down. I said, you'll have to hurry, ma'am. I got a boy waiting on me. And she said, I'll find those papers. And said he was hunting. And said, about that time, a Georgia storm came up. Said, the awful storm that you ever saw. And the thunder roared and the lightning flashed. And the rain came down on my little boy. And said, he's standing against that building just crying and shivering and the tears coming down and the rain soaking him. And a nice policeman walked over and said, Hey, son, you don't have to stand in the rain. Get on the awning. And said, that little boy looked up and said, no, sir, Mr. Policeman, I ain't going to move. Said, he told me to stay right here till he got back. And I'm going to stay where he put me. Boy, I'm glad I know where he put me. And thank God I'm going to stay where he put me till he comes again. That old Negro preacher said, I was worried about my boy. And said, that lady said, here, Reverend, sign three in three places and I'll let you go. I found them. He said, I signed the first. I signed the second. I signed the third. I ran out, pitched that button with 18 stories down, ran out there and grabbed my little boy up my arms and pulled him back on the awning and said, he's soaked and crying. And looked up and said, Daddy, I know you're coming back when you got them papers signed. And he said, you know, he said, Jesus went away to sign some insurance papers. And when he said that, I pulled off the side of the road down to Exeter, Conyers, Georgia. I jumped out of my car and said, woo! I shouted a couple of times and I hollered so loud. Fell over there and said, hey, have you got a flat tire? I said, no, he's gone to sign some insurance papers. And thank God he's coming after me. He's coming back again. Hallelujah. He's coming back again. He's gone to sign some insurance papers. And he's coming back again. I want to be ready. Thank God I want to be ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. Aren't you glad? What a wonderful thing it is tonight. When you was out there in that old field and no eye pitied you. I mean, you was out there and nobody stopped to take any time. Then he passed by. And he came over where you were. And he picked you up out of the corruption and the pollution. And he washed you. And he clothed you. And he decked you. And he anointed you. You love him for that? He's coming back one day. I don't want to be out after strange gods. I don't want to be out after the world. I don't want to be out here in the things of the world. I want to be waiting for him. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Dr. Charles Weigel told me once when we were down in a meeting. He was about 70 then. I think he lived nearly to be 100. I was a young preacher. And he said to me, "Brother Mays, no one ever cared for me like Jesus." And boy, I can say that tonight. Because when the world had passed me by, Jesus came over and stopped. And Jesus reached his hand down. And Jesus picked me up. Thank God he came where I was. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I thank you for listening, and you've been good listeners tonight. Oh, do you have a need from the Lord? He's passing by. Don't go out without touching him. Oh, preacher, don't you go back to that church the same as you were when you came to this camp meeting. Mother, listen to me. It's a great privilege to be a mother. Wife, you listen to me, it's a great honor. It's a helpmate. Listen, husband, boys and girls, God's privileged you to be here in this great camp meeting. Listen now, he's passing by tonight. You reach out and touch him. Let God meet your need. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe you've gotten cold and walking afar. Maybe you've lost interest and love for the church and the Bible. And maybe when we were having such a time, shouting during the preaching, shouting during Brother Mac, shouting during the other singers. Maybe you said, I don't see why they're rejoicing. Friend, you can get in. He's passing this way. Thank God you can get something tonight. You don't have to leave this building until you can say, he came where I was, and I touched him there. I'm going to ask Brother Mac if you'll slip over. I want to play something soft, and I want to talk to you tonight. I'm glad Brother Roy had you. I believe he was just following the pattern of the horse. Let me say something to you tonight. Even though I believe he obeyed God, and I believe the sinners obeyed God, and I believe that I obeyed God, I told Brother Roy, I said, "Lord, you want over there? I'll stay here." Brother Mason, I said, "I'll be over there." Oh, I walk that floor until I shield it. And then when he said, "Go ahead, preach about it," he passed him by. I said, "That was my message, and I took it home." But he didn't pass him by when you touch him. You'll never be the same if you touch him. You'll never be the same. That's what they can't control in life. Just reach out to him.
To sing something, just to stand still real softly while he hits about. I want you to let something soak tonight. And he knows what he wants. The Lord will even sing. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a difference. Since Jesus. Yes, since Jesus passed by. You remember where you were when he passed by? Now, while he plays it softly, I want to ask you something. How many of you need a fresh touch from the Lord? I mean, fresh oil. I mean, he's passing by right now. I mean, we don't want you to leave the camp. Brother Roy, don't want you to leave the camp until you can say, I touched him. He passed my way. And oh, what a difference when you reach out and touch him as he passes by. While Brother Mac plays softly, if you'd like to step out, just come on down here. And say, Lord, it's my desire. Yes, it's my desire. It's my desire. Oh, what a difference. Yes, hallelujah. It's sweet. The blessings of the Lord. Oh, the blessings of Jesus. Yes. Oh, what a difference. Oh, Mac to sing another stanza, and then Brother Roy's going to come pray before we go tonight. If anybody else has a need, you come. We'll pray for you. All right.
At the cross, oh.